Chapter 2. A New Arrangement. The Mistwick cafeteria buzzes like a beehive in a hurricane. Kids stand on chairs and tables, craning to see over each other's heads. They completely drown out the voices of the maestros telling them to get down. Flashes of light spark as my classmate, Jing Fei, shoves her camera wherever she can to get a good shot, taking her new job as reporter for the school newspaper very seriously. Claudia, a clarinetist from my Eros class, sobs dramatically on the floor, her friends trying to calm her down. And I sit frozen on a plastic yellow chair, my hands clasped on my lap, staring at Amelia Jones. The other Amelia Jones. Alive and in the flesh. Is this really happening? I feel like I'm stuck in some sort of dream. Not just because the other Amelia happens to be rich, famous, and a musical prodigy, but because she's supposed to be dead. But there she stands in the center of the room, a space cleared around her, as if fame surrounds her like a barrier spell. I hadn't known what else to do with her but bring her to the cafeteria, where all the maestros would be eating lunch. Only seconds after we walked in, Claudia had recognized Amelia Jones and started screaming. Chaos followed. Through all the commotion, one person drifts through the crowd, as if in a trance, to take Amelia's hands in her own. A reverent space clears around the two girls. "It's really you," Darby whispers. The other Amelia squeezes my roommate's hands. "It's me, Darbs."
"It's just..."
Darby swallows.
"I'm having a hard time believing it. You wouldn't be the first ghost I've seen this month, Mia."
Darbs and Mia. They have their own names for each other. But then, of course they do. They were, are, best friends. Because Mia is definitely no ghost. I should know.
"I don't understand," Darby says. "How are you here?"
That's the question everyone around us is trying to answer. But finally, Mr. Pinwhistle takes out his trumpet and plays a silencing spell. A fog of yellow magic spreads through the room, muffling all sound but that of his trumpet. With a loud, final note, he lowers the instrument and glares at everyone.
"Enough!" he growls. "All of you, sit down and finish your food. You two,"
he points at Darby and Mia.
"Come with us."
He and Miss Nurani gather the girls and escort them out of the cafeteria. I start to follow, then stop myself. This doesn't really have anything to do with me. And yet, it kind of has everything to do with me. After all, when I first arrived at Mistwick, it was only because I'd received the other Amelia's acceptance letter by mistake. They said she'd died, and so her letter got rerouted to me by magical accident. The maestros had given me a second chance anyway, letting me prove that I had what it took to be a real Mistwick student. And I had done just that, though not exactly without some trouble along the way. In fact, I've only been an official, permanent Mistwick student for 1 week now. Everything has only just started to feel normal. Until today. I sit beside Jai and stare at the peas and mashed potatoes on my tray.
"Well,"
he says, staring wide-eyed at me.
"Wow."
"Wow," I agree.
"I mean, wow."
He gives me an odd look.
"You okay?"
"Of course she's not," snipes a voice. It's Claudia, who leans in between us. "The real Amelia Jones has arrived. So what does that mean for our little imposter?" I roll my eyes. "Give it up already. I earned my place here, same as you."
"It's not like they're going to kick Amelia out," Jai says. "And if they try it, we riot."
His face splits into a sunny grin. "Hey, a rhyme." As Claudia sniffs and goes back to her seat, Jai does a dance, chanting,
"If they try it, we riot. If they try it, we riot. If they... Ow!"
I jab his rib again. "I'm not gonna get kicked out, moron."
"Then why do you look like you swallowed something slimy?"
"It's a lot to process. I mean, As far as we all knew, the other Amelia died in a boat accident months ago. But suddenly she just shows up, alive and well, and ordering people to carry her luggage? Wait a sec, Jai says, lifting a finger. If she's been alive this whole time, why did her Mistwick acceptance letter go to you all those months ago? I thought it only found you because she was supposed to be dead. Spidery unease crawls over my skin. If she wasn't dead, why did I get Mia's letter? There must be some other explanation. Maybe we'll never know what it is. Picking up my fork, I mix my peas into my potatoes and shovel them into my mouth. But I have to force myself to swallow because my stomach is doing gymnastics. What will Mia do when she learns I took her place at Mistwick? What does this mean for Darby and me, who just started becoming friends? What do you think they're talking about? I wonder aloud, staring at the door Darby and Mia went through.
Oh, you know, chirps Jai. The usual things you say to a person you thought was dead but was actually marooned on a desert island on the other side of the world for 4 months.
He switches voices, pretending to be Darby and Mia, but sounding more like a shrill British granny, his hand flung over his forehead.
Oh, darling, it's you. It's really you. Yes, darling. It's me. I'm alive. It's a miracle. I had a funeral for you and everything. Oh, I hope it was nice. It was the nicest.
Sighing, I stand up and swing on my backpack. Right. Well, miracle or no miracle, I've got math class.
Hey, says Jai. Just remember, you're one of us now, no matter what. Nothing's gonna change.
As I trek out of the cafeteria, I spot Darby and Mia in the shade of an oak tree, hugging each other, while a knot of maestros gather a few steps away. Mia's eyes flicker up and meet mine, and there's something very strange in her gaze, something intense and knowing, as if she could read my thoughts. Then, slowly, she smiles at me. I can't tell if it's my imagination or not, but it doesn't exactly feel like a nice smile. And I can't shake the feeling that Jai's wrong, and that everything is about to change. After a hectic afternoon of classes, I run back to my room to drop off my textbooks. But when I get there, I find my bed already occupied by Mia Jones. Darby sits on her own bed, hugging a pillow. Her face is blotchy from crying. They both stare at me when I bust through the door.
Amelia!
Darby smiles. Hey, I say, glancing nervously at Mia. I was just gonna change real quick. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, this is good, says Darby. I know you already met, but...
But that was before I knew who she was, cuts in Mia. She stands, smiling sweetly, and picks up one of my red curls and runs it between her fingers as if she's considering buying it.
Amelia Jones, she says. Funny coincidence, isn't it? Same name, same age, same school.
So funny, I say faintly. Want to know a secret? She leans close and whispers in a flat tone. I don't really believe in coincidence. Oh? She steps back and laughs, but her eyes are serious. She has the most piercing gaze I've ever seen. I feel like my brain is being x-rayed.
You're welcome, by the way, she says.
Behind her, Darby winces. Mia. Welcome for what? I ask.
All of this?
Mia steps back and spreads her hands wide. Darby told me everything. How you got my letter by accident. How you wouldn't even be here if it weren't for me. Oh, my cheeks have to be redder than tomatoes. I'm glad you're safe. It must have been terrifying being shipwrecked all those months. She flicks her hair.
No big deal, really. I decided to treat it like an extended vacation, with, like, a lot of coconuts.
And your family? Are they okay? Her eyes lower, her laughter gone. My father, yes, but they haven't found my mom yet. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. It's fine. I know she's alive. It's just a matter of time before they find her. I'm sure you're right. I glance at Darby, who looks at her friend sadly, and I can tell she doesn't share Mia's confidence. But Mia doesn't look the least bit worried about her mom's fate, which I find a little strange. If my gran were lost at sea, I'd be a wreck. Anyway, Mia says, Darby has told me everything about you. How you're a composer, how you saved the school. She tilts her head, her eyes narrowing even though her smile doesn't fade. How much fun she's had hanging out with you. Really? I blink. She said all that? I was almost worried that she'd gone and replaced me. Mia chuckles, giving Darby a shove that's a little too hard to be playful. Darby laughs back, but her eyes flicker to me. Of course not, she says. Nobody could replace you, Mia. You sure? Mia teases. The whole school seems pretty obsessed with Amelia Jones, the great composer. You're practically a wonder girl. Is it true that you composed a black spell? Well, kind of, yeah. Oh, don't look so scared, Mia says, grinning. Come on now, Wonder Girl. I can tell we'll all be best friends. Special as you are, I'm sure to keep a very close eye on you. I'm really not that special. Oh, I think you are. I think you have no idea how special you are. A girl who can raise ghosts? You must be very interesting to a lot of powerful people. I glance at Darby, then at the door, wishing for an excuse to leave as quickly as possible. Oh, loosen up, Wonder Girl. Mia clutches my hand and Darby's with such earnestness that I can't help but smile back. Maybe she is just teasing, and I shouldn't take it so personally. I remind myself of all she's gone through in the last few months and decide that she's allowed to be a little bit weird. Who wouldn't be after being marooned on an island? In fact, speaking of best friends, Mia gives Darby a meaningful look. Darby clears her throat. Oh, yeah. Amelia, you know how Mia and I always planned on, well, being roommates at Mistwick? My stomach sinking, I nod. Well, Darby scrapes a stain on the carpet with the toe of her shoe. It's just, you want her to move in with us. I finish for her. Do you think there's room for another bed? In here? Mia gives our room a distasteful look. My closet back home is bigger than this. Of course there's not room. Which is why Darby thought maybe you could, you know. I look from her to Darby. You want me to move out? Darby winces. I hoped maybe they'd have a three-person room in the dorms, but there isn't one, so I've never seen Darby like this, stammering, nervous, her voice barely a whisper. Even when she hated my guts, she'd at least been straightforward about it. I don't know this version of Darby at all. It's as if the moment Mia arrived, she pulled out a whole brand new personality. If you don't want to, Darby starts, but I jump in. No, it's fine. Of course you two should be roomies. It's only right. Really? Mia says. Oh, Wonder Girl, you're the best. No problem. I mean, as long as it's not against the rules to switch rooms. Rules? Mia says the word the way a fish might say shoes, as if the concept has never really applied to her. I'm sure it'll be fine. I yank open the closet to pull out my suitcase. Maybe one of the other girls has an empty bed I can have. But it turns out that everyone else already has a roommate. So, with help from Miss March, the Dean of Students, and Phoebe, the senior dorm captain, I move all my things into an empty room on the far end of the hallway. It's dusty, and there are cobwebs in the closet, but I pretend to love it because Darby is standing anxiously in the doorway. She's real, Darby murmurs, looking a bit dazed. Dropping my suitcase, I walk over to her. I thought you were going to pass out the moment you saw her. How do you feel? I mean, It's not every day someone comes back from the dead.
You'd know better than anyone, she points out.
I don't know what to feel. I mean, happy, of course. Shocked, confused. It's like a dream.
With a smile, I impulsively reach out and hug her. I'm glad you got your best friend back, Darby.
Thanks, she whispers, hugging me back. And Mia's not that bad. You have to give her time, that's all. She always comes off as a little much at first.
I'm sure she's great. I pull back, still forcing the smile.
Sounds like she went through a lot.
She nods, biting her lip.
Are you really okay with all this? The room, I mean?
Absolutely. I put on a smile. You two should room together. It's only right.
I'm kind of jealous, says Mia, poking her head in and making us both jump.
A room all to yourself? It's like VIP treatment.
Totally, I say, patting the bed. I love it.
Great. See, Darby, she loves it. Now let's go. I want to see everything this school has to offer. Please tell me there's a sauna. I positively cannot live without a...
Oh, I left my bag in the room.
Darbs, I'll get it for you.
Darby runs off like an eager Labrador.
Mia turns back to me, her eyes narrowing to slits. The temperature in the room seems to drop.
So, you and Darby, huh? She says. Don't you think you've stolen enough from me?
What?
She snaps her fingers, cutting me short.
What a word of advice from someone with far more talent and experience than you.
Don't get comfortable here at Mistwick.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means life has a way of changing so fast it'll make you spin.
Trust me, I know. She looks me up and down, her lip curling.
Amelia, you're supposed to be a composer? Please, even your name isn't original.
Stay away from Darby. She turns with a flick of her hair, her face transforming back to a carefree smile as Darby returns with her bag.
See you around, Wonder Girl. She chirps.
And with a wave, she links arms with my former roommate and they exit out the door.
Holy Bach.
Mia Jones is the most terrifying person I've ever met.
And I've met dead people.
My stomach turns like it's being operated by a tiny, over-caffeinated hamster. It's so quiet, I can even hear the faint, distant drone of the upper-class orchestra practicing in the shell, as we call the school concert hall. Mia Jones's words linger in the air. Don't get comfortable here at Mistwick. What I can't decide is, did she mean them as advice or a threat?